There's different stories, see?
We think determination is leading the way.
Let's see, where is that, the story of, no. There is, it starts with that. All kinds of different stories.
Maybe Antoine told you, but of course they're very different.
Oh, yeah, sure. Each one tells a little bit different. All he told me about.
Supposedly homes.
He didn't know too many.
But you'll find, when you get looking into it, as you go down the list of the names.
And that chipmunk and, what's it called? My grandma used to tell it to us every night. Every night, and I should know it, but I've forgotten. Now here's, Spilia, the flood in the town. And then here's Spilia and Udtik. Oh, this one, this isn't right.
This is our guy's business anyway.
She told it to.
I think that's the one he told me.
About him, about Udtik taking pity on him and bringing him.
Every time he wished for something.
And he said, and then probably finally this one day he rushed, you know, he didn't know who or where it came from. And then this one time whatever, she left all that food and all that. And he ran off. He jumped up and he ran and he saw her, yes, going over the hill. And then, oh, you, what did you come here for, you? And then called her everything he could think of. Oh, she was just almost bald-headed. She didn't have much hair and how ugly she looked. Everything, and then...
Yeah,
what is it, right? What are you doing? Here she was bringing something for him to eat, and then he had to call her. And then there's a lot of stories about
it. I wonder about that. I never really thought of it in terms of segregation. I guess usually segregation has a bad sense to it, but this segregation is helping one group over another.
Well, I don't begrudge any of the services they gave to them. I think it's fine to the taxpayers. It should go to people who really need it.
Yeah, he's raring to come next year. He'd like to bring his family if we could find a place to live.
You won't answer it, you don't have to. You're proud of your Indian heritage.
Maybe you can live in that house that I'm living in this summer.
Well, I imagine he could.
Yeah, just cook it up with Alex. Yeah. Move right in there, then I could come back in and explore.
Well, that's what he did over here. There was somebody, you know, that was out. He stayed there alone. But if he had a place, you know, that he could, you know, have a place to stay, well, he can bring his family.
See, I got myself a little davenport up there, too. You know, and it's a full one of those that folds out into a bed.
Oh!
It'd be real nice for them. I don't know how many kids he's got.
He's got two. Boy and a girl.
Well, I don't have quite enough beds for them, but they might be able to get another cot. I got the bed that I sleep on, and then I got that fold out davenport.
Yeah, and the
that'd be enough for him and his wife.
Well, they could get a cot for the boy. And
yeah.
Don't that have a built-in, isn't there a kind of a porch or built-in behind the kitchen there?
Yeah, there's a porch back there behind the kitchen.
Yeah, well, I think they used it there when, in fact, somebody that lived there used that for some
sleeping
quarters.
I use it for
During the summer, though, they could.
Yeah, in the winter it'd be pretty cold unless you put
no.
a heater or something.
Yeah, no, but in summertime it would be. Oh, maybe they could get a tent there.
Some years ago.
He's going to bring his family over.
One of the recommendations, as I understand it, was establish a mill, on the reservation. Would this be one of the big projects that you're talking about?
Well, I don't think that was the recommendation. That was a possibility of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford didn't go so far as to recommend it, but the Indian Bureau did. And,
he's got it in the book for him. I'm going to try and get another copy of it.
Dave has it.
Dave has one, but Father Connolly's got it. He's the one that's working. And he gave me this, and then Barry needed the one, you know, when we're going through, and I let him have that. I'll get one from Father Connolly. And then when he was here last summer, he says, oh, I'll get a copy of it. And then he, you know, he's crazy. Not went up to Prince Rupert. He went on. All he had is his motorcycle. And he said he was going to be gone for 2 weeks. He says the friends of his from Seattle were going to go up on a boat to Prince Rupert. And then he went in a week's time, I think. No, they left 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, it's going to take him that long to get over there. Then he went and he says, I'll be gone 2 weeks. He went and he flew over there. And he's going to catch them, and they were going to come back. And when those 2 weeks were up, he didn't come back. And his friend from Inchling kept calling and calling and asked for him. And I really got worried, you know. I thought, well, maybe he didn't see those people. And another thing, I thought, well, maybe he didn't. They got lost out at sea, you know. And then about 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, here come a motorcycle. And it was so classy. Well, they did get into a storm. I guess they were carried way out, but they finally made it back. They got off their course, and they went, I guess they were back to where they started from. Then they started out. And he said, for a while there, I thought we weren't going to make it. Well, I said, your friend Tony's been calling you, and so I told him, you better call him now. He just should call him, so he did. so worried about. I was just thinking of calling him when Tony told me, asking him if he'd heard from him, and then here he called.
You're taking up a lot of your time. I sure appreciate the help that
And then you've got the
against development. There's no doubt about that. They don't want to the tribe gambling and any kind of enterprise is what they consider to be theirs. There's strong feeling within the tribe, and I think you'll find it anywhere, against the tribal council as such. I mean, they just don't like the whole system.
Well, there's some Indians that actually protest by not voting. Isn't that true? I mean, for instance, when the council will be up for election, they protest by not voting. Is that right?
Oh, I don't think it's been true the last few years. This termination issue has been pretty hot. There's been the biggest turnouts the last 3 or 4 years there ever has been. I know 1 year they boycotted, and there was only about 600 that voted. That was an organized thing.
What year was that? Do you remember?
62, I think. But I would say that in numbers, those opposed to termination would number somewhere around 400 to 500 who would just be opposed to any termination.
Uh-huh. Are there are they of any one tribal background? The Moses Indians, for instance.
Nez Perce, and probably some Moses.
Any others?
Oh, there would be some Palouse.
Are there Palouse Indians on this reservation?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of that. Do you know the
various groups that are on the reservation. I understand there's at least a dozen.
About 11.
11
bands.
Well, let's see, we got the Nez Perce, the Moses, the...
Moses, the Lake Chelan, the Aniat, and the Okanagan, Met House. There's quite a list of them.
Sandpoil.
Yeah, I think they're listed separately. I'd have to look at them.
They're listed other than the 11, you mean? Or?
No, they would be with the group. I'm sure they're right in the heart of the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Or are they from the...
No, Keller.
Keller. Yeah.
This is kind of a strange thing, too. That area over there is right in the center of the reservation. It's in the best timber area. And yet those people almost 100%, I'd say, are for termination.
Are they?
And you would think they would be opposed to it. The ones you find that are opposed to it are the ones that lived right here with the Bureau. Well, for 100 years, 80 years.
Well, yeah, those two that you mentioned, the Moses and the Nez Perce, was there another one you mentioned too that is a Palouse?
Well, Palouse, I think they'd probably be mixed with
the Nez Perce. They're all from off the reservation. They're all put on the reservation.
Yeah.
They weren't original
mm-hmm.
inhabitants. Do you think that's strange? I mean,
I
tend to.
You have to know the politics of the council over the years. You know, there was a lot of friction in the beginning between a lot of rivalry between the Indians that were here and those that were put on here. And right away there was a struggle to take control, and the council wasn't formed until about 34, somewhere along in there. And then this became the way to get the power, see, was to get control of the council. And for years and years, this little clique here at Nez Perce did control the tribe, all the business affairs of the tribe. But that isn't true anymore. It's 10-4. The outlying districts have more or less just boxed them in. But it is an internal power struggle that goes on. That it'll continue to go on, and this is why I say this abuse, if something isn't done and the thing isn't settled and it starts to slip back, it's going to get real rough to live with.
How many different elective districts are there?
Four.
There's four.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the Omak, the Keller, the Nez Perce,
and Inchilam.
Inchilam. Mm-hmm. The various people with different backgrounds, like say the Nez Perce and Sandpoil, just to throw out two, they're kind of centralized in individual locations, is that right, or are they, is it all spread out?
Well, at one time, but they've intermarried so much anymore, it's not as distinct as it was at one time. But they kind of tend to identify each other that way a little bit.
Do they? It came up in the meeting this morning. I mentioned this Indian Reorganization Act. The Colville tribe never signed that, is that? Has this had any detrimental effect on the tribe? Has it decreased their leverage in any way with the Congress? Or has it
no,
had any
I don't
effect?
Think so. In fact, I think it's probably in the long run it'll be better because it does set us apart as an individual tribe, more or less. For referendums and like this attorney contract, we have to get special authorization. So many of the tribes were set up under that, under standard corporation charters and things.
So they could hire their attorney without getting authorization?
Yeah.
Is that? Do you think that's better? Or?
No, I don't. I think it's good that the tribal members have that much say-so. And
I see what you mean. All right,
yeah.
Very good. The authorization is from the tribe, not from the Bureau.
This isn't true with other tribes, you know. The Yakimas and the Spokanes, their tribal councils can just out and out hire who they want to.
Mm-hmm.
for the figures if they want to.
The tribal council, now this was kind of imposed on the Colvilles, wasn't it? I mean, this wasn't their own idea, was it?
Well, when I first got into this, I used to talk it over with some of the people that were instrumental in that. And it was their feeling at that time that they didn't have any representation with the Bureau, and that it would be good if the tribe could be represented. But, like I say, it got to be such a power struggle that I think it worked against them more than it helped. I'll get home. And for so many years, the council members were elected just on personality or because they had more relatives than somebody else or something. And the tribal members didn't take too much interest in the elections. And the councils just had freewheeling. Get started without me. They had freewheeling, and there was a lot of abuse in the council. This time, where this council is a lot more sensitive to what the tribal members want.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Is there a continuing factionalism here?
I think there always will be until this thing is settled, because you'll find that those are for it are for it, and they're going to stay for it and keep fighting for it, and those who are against it are going to keep trying to kill the legislation.
Is it just on termination that the factionalism exists, or is it widespread throughout the whole reservation structures? That sounds like a question a congressman would ask.
Of course, the termination issue is the big one. But I think if it was on a development issue, I think if this council or any other council said we're going to take the tribal resources and we're going to pour it into development and, you know, develop the reservation, I think there'd probably be about 95% of them adamantly opposed to it. Because they don't trust anybody at this point, and I don't think they ever will.
I guess there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
They've been tricked and cheated on so many different occasions.
Well, like I say, they're individuals. And this is really probably, I don't know, maybe two or three generations ago, they could have pulled together as a tribe, but they never will now. They're too spread apart there. Well, it's not a real tribe, really. Just a collection of people put on the reservation.
Before I go, will you show me where I can get a list of the various tribes that are on the reservation?
Yeah, Harry can give you anything that you want.
Is the language situation such that everyone speaks English now? Are there any that do not?
Well, when we were working on our official statement, and that came up, and almost everybody agreed that they didn't know of one Indian that couldn't speak English. But every once in a while, if there's a hearing or something, you'll see some of the opponents of termination bringing people in there all costumed up and acting like they need interpreters, but that isn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's for show more than anything else.
How many different language families are there? Do you know?
Gosh, I couldn't say offhand. I don't think there are very many people who can speak it anymore.
Any of the Indian languages?
Some of the older people in there are dying off real fast.
This wouldn't, if everyone speaks English, the individual Indian languages would not be a reason for factionalism. You can't understand what this guy's saying, so you don't agree with him.
No. Heavens no, that's what I say. They're just like everybody else. Heck, they've gone to school with them since, what, the 1890, 1900s long in there. My people all went to public school. You'll find that the generations are just about as well educated as anybody else in the same generation. You know, my parents, if you had an eighth grade education, they were considered about up with everybody else. And it's holding true right on down the line, according to age.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Of course, I know I come from a pretty educated family. My dad's a doctor, and my mother was a registered nurse. And
this is what baffles us. Everybody thinks, oh, an Indian reservation. Well, there's a whole bunch of Indians around there living their culture. Well, that isn't true either. You find a few here and there that still know how to do their beadwork and things like that, but they do it just like somebody else will crochet or embroidery. But as far as their celebrations and encampments, that's mostly show now. Like over there at the Stampede. Well, the Stampede Committee goes out and recruits Indians to come in and put up tents. Some of them will put up tents because they pay them a little bit to put it up. They don't sleep there. There's a lot of commercialism in it.
Yeah. I guess this is a...
Yeah, even here, right down here, they have their 4th of July encampment. Well, 2/3 of those Indians that come down here are from other reservations.
Hmm.
And if they depended on this tribe to produce people to get out there and dance and put on a show, they wouldn't have enough.
That kind of goes against my grain. I mean, I see that these people have something that is valuable. Maybe it's not, you know, but to just let it go.
Well, it's gone, though, is the thing.
It's gone.
I mean, it's gone, and you can't take these young people and push them back in time. I think probably once this termination thing is settled, it's like any group of people. Anything that's worth preserving, they're going to work for and maybe appreciate it more than they did before. But it's not tied to the land, really. We're talking about a commercial forest out there that's owned communally by people. And what the advantage to the people. And we're at a point in time now where it's a question of, is that particular asset in that form that it is now more advantage to the people as a forest than it would be if it were converted to cash and the people could use it for themselves or their families. And that doesn't mean to say that they're just going to take their cash and go out and blow it. In the case of the miners, it would be put in trust and held for them, and even beyond the point of 21 if they still couldn't show that they had good sense. And
well, I don't know how much they're going to get, but $20,000 is really not too much.
Well, nobody knows at this point. It has to be appraised.
Yeah.
And we have a formula for appraisal that we think would probably work out just about as well as anything.
Do you?
We've looked at it from all angles, and we think federal purchase is about the only way to conserve the assets, you know, for the country, for the continued sustained yield and the watersheds and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the mineral rights? Are there special laws and whatnot on that?
Well, there's provision in the bill to appraise them as best they can.
Yeah,
but
they haven't really been explored at all, have they?
Well, they haven't had. They have Bear Creek Mining out there now doing some exploratory work.
This is a uranium company, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody told me that they made quite a nice discovery of it. Is that true?
Here on this reservation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's talk of it.
Yeah. Would that kind of blow the whole thing wide open again and make it undesirable to terminate before there had been sufficient exploration?
Oh, I don't think so. There again, you get back into question, well, as long as the assets are being handled by a few people who's, by the time it filters down through the administration, what advantage is it to the tribal members? Now, you have to work around these bureaus to know how much of it, the cream goes off the top.
The Bear Creek Company, now this is not Indian owned or anything, is it?
No.
Can somebody just come in and stake a claim on Indian land and take stuff off without paying anything to the tribe?
No. Well, that's under tight regulation. It has to be approved here by the council. It has to be approved by the bureau. And there's royalty.
Well, this is real good. I was reading about one of the old Indian agents here. I've kind of forgotten his name now. I know he's a colonel. While he was agent, they started up the town of Keller. At that time, I guess the mining laws must have been different because they were mining there, and that somehow gave them a right to take over the area. I don't understand that, but that's not true anymore, is that right?
I don't think so. In fact, the laws were real tight for a long time, and I think they're just now beginning to loosen up a little bit.
Right.